Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Caroline, Willie, D. Mays, 102.5, 106.3, The Game and The Game Nashville app. We're streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day. And we're broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Predators in action tonight, regular season finale at Pittsburgh. We'll get into a little bit of a standings check later on this hour. But for now, TD, Teron Davenport, joins us, brought to you by ESPN Bet Sportsbook. TD in studio today. It's great to see your face.
I was driving back from a downtown, and I said, you know, I text Nick. I said, you want me to come in? I might as well.
Come on, I was literally driving by,
so I said, yeah.
Come on in.
Yeah. Happy to see you and happy to have you in studio today.
Yes.
So we heard from Brian Callahan, Nick Holtz, Denard Wilson last week. 40-minute press conference from Brian Callahan. A lot of information there. Mm-hmm. Overarching question. I know that this is, you know, a very broad question, but just overall takeaways from what you heard.
Well, I'll start with this. It's very refreshing. Absolutely no slight on Mike Vrabel in the previous class or not class, but staff. Mm-hmm. It's very refreshing to see the degree of openness that we get from these guys. I love it. So that's the initial takeaway. I do appreciate how Brian Callahan spoke about, when I asked him about Will Levis and his leadership, how he said that he's going to just allow him to go ahead and grow into that role on his own. And I think that's the right way to do it. You have that. Denard Wilson, man, like I smile and kind of like shake every time I say his name because the energy that he brings is just tremendous. And, yeah, so those were the things. And Nick Holtz, too. I want to continue to speak to him because I want to see, like, more of his express a little more. Because the first press conference, it's like, wow, this dude is like – he don't really say much, you know what I mean? But
and
at least we got him to
Denard
talk
Wilson,
this time.
Which I think.
Yeah,
it's like, how can you go after him?
You notice they reversed it this time.
Probably smart on their part.
Yeah. Here's, because this is the one thing I do like about what is going on, TD, in regards to what went on in the last regime. Again, I think the last regime had its ups and it has its downs. It had its pros and its cons.
Yeah.
I think the one of the biggest cons, and I think ultimately it came back to bite him last year in the draft. Too much was getting out of the building. Mm. It was just too much stuff getting out of the building.
Yeah.
This year, you don't see that. Right. You don't see all of these little tidbits. Now, listen, once we get closer to the draft, you know, some things may get out here and there, but I think it will be done purposely in small little things. But last year and years before, it just seemed like so much stuff, information came out of that building, and sometimes it seems like contradicting information. But you don't see that this year. You don't hear it.
Yeah, you don't see that as much this year at all. The leaks, I think, are a lot less. Now, there's a little bit of information here and there that you get. But for the most part, and that's even like with context that I have, it's a little different. But you can't really have that, especially when it cost you the way it did last year as far as the C.J. Stroud and all of that. You're right. But the energy is up.
Yeah, the energy
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like the energy in the building, from what I've been told, and also even just being in the building that one time, you just feel it from the coaches, I guess. Yeah.
And in that same breath, I feel like there's still a lot of information that – fans and myself included, I'll step away from those press conferences feeling like I'm smarter about what's going on behind closed doors. That it's not just, I'm not going to answer your question, or I'm just going to, you know, totally deny the question because I don't feel like answering it or because I don't want to give too much away.
Yeah.
It's answering it without giving too much away, which I think is a really important and necessary balance as a coach or a coordinator or a general manager. But one thing that I do think is fairly open was about Treylon Burks. Mm. Nick Holtz talked about how, look, Treylon Burks is going to get what he earns. Brian Callahan didn't mention Treylon Burks when asked about that wide receiver three spot. What did you take away from what was mentioned and rather not mentioned about Treylon Burks?
Well, that's the first thing that stood out to me when Brian Callahan spoke about the receivers. Mm-hmm. When he was asked about them, he mentioned how they need a slot guy to emerge. So there's a few ways you could take it. You could take it as if, okay, he's talking about designated slot guys, mm-hmm. because he did mention Kyle Phillips and Mason, I'm going to say Mason Rudolph, Mason Kinsey. But then he mentioned Nick Westbrook and Kenny, and he's not a designated slot guy. So you wonder why he wasn't mentioned. And then got Nick Holes, who said that he has to earn it. Me personally, I take more out of that than I take out of the omission by Brian Callahan, because when I asked Nick Holes about Treylon Burks, he said that he has a lot of potential and talent. But that is not going to get him a spot. You have to earn it. And I think that's the right way to approach it. I commend Nick Holes for coming out and saying it that way, because it's one of those ways where you compliment and then you challenge. Mm-hmm. And that's what he did. So hopefully for Treylon Burks, that works out for him.
Yeah, because if you're listening, if I'm Treylon and I'm listening, because he's hearing this. There's no way that he cannot be hearing what's coming out of that building, especially you're entering – honestly, a do-or-die season for you. Mm-hmm. It's either put up or we're going in another direction. So to me, it's almost like you heard what Bill Callahan said, and as a player, you might have thought, like, damn. Like, now you're worried. But then you double back and you hear what Holt said. It's like, okay, where am I? Mm-hmm. Where you're at is where Holt said. It's either put up or shut up. Yeah. You got to earn your position. 2 years prior, it was – more or less given to you, and they wanted you to take it. Mm-hmm. It's not that way anymore.
Yeah.
You got to earn it now. And, you know, I just think that's the right way to approach a young guy like that, because, like you said, you challenge him. Mm-hmm. It's not that you're not going to be on this team, but I'm going to challenge you to get better, because if you get better, it makes us better as a unit.
You know, this is the perfect opportunity to find out what Treylon has inside of him.
Yeah.
Every time you want to know someone's true character, what they're really built from, you challenge them, you put them in an adverse situation. Mm-hmm. And in those situations, you either rise to it. It's like a saying, right? You get fresher under pressure. Deshaun Ghost in the 49ers safety from a while, he used to always say that, and I loved it. Or you look at Jimmy Johnson. He says, you know, adversity makes the strong stronger or the weak weaker. Mm-hmm. We're going to see what Treylon has inside of him, because this is not a good situation. You know, it's no longer the days when you played where, okay, in the third year, that's when the receiver is expected to, you know, finally come into things. They expect contributions immediately now, and he hasn't done that for whatever reason. So I'm curious how this is going to work out for him. I want to see how he responds to this challenge.
Well, I mean, it just depends on, because I think, I know. Caroline asked that question last week, like, does he want it? And that's the essential question.
Because he can.
You know, yeah.
That's why he was a first-round pick.
Absolutely. He has the ability.
Yep.
He has everything, just about everything you would ask for in a receiver. He's big, strong, break tackles, has some speed to him, good hands. It's now, do you want it? Mm-hmm. You know, and the only person that can answer that question is Treylon. You know, I can want you to want it, but if you don't want it or don't take it, there's nothing I can do. So we're going to find out, like you said, TD, whether he wants it or not.
Yeah.
And maybe, just maybe, that's the question in the building, whether he wants it or not. They know he can play. Mm-hmm. You can play. I know that. But do you want it? That's really the essential question there.
Yeah. And even you look at, okay, you got your coach challenge you. Mm-hmm. The organization is challenged. They went out.
Yeah.
They spent $50 million.
Yeah,
you know what I mean, to bring somebody in to do what you were drafted to do. And I apologize for banging the table like
no.
It just kind of it makes me passionate about it, and I'm not even in a situation, so I can't imagine like how he should be or how he does feel right now, because I would feel challenged, and I would
so he'll figure it out.
We're talking with TD in studio. Before I send it over to Willie's in Pittsburgh, Preds in action against the Penguins tonight. Less than 2 weeks away from the draft, which is wild. It's like, I wanted to be here tomorrow, and I also want another month of all of this gossip and tea. But every single mock draft I look at, and then I understand, the mock draft's not real life.
Right, it's
but every, I always think it's interesting, you know, different insiders who know different things that might look at needs different ways or evaluate prospects differently.
Mm-hmm.
Every single mock draft has the Titans taking Joe Alt. Every single mock draft. Is it that easy? Is it that simple?
It should be that easy, right? You can't help but think of the Wu-Tang, right? Can it be that it was all so simple?
I hope.
That should be the draft theme music, at least for the first round. But I don't think it's that way. I think it's going to end up being a situation where, okay, one of three things. Either Joe Alt is selected earlier by the Chargers or somebody, or one of two things. They trade back. I think that trade back possibility is really strong. I don't think it's as simple as Joe Alt is the guy. Even though it seems like – because like it's very rare when you have a top three prospect, the number one at the position, matching the hugest need an organization has. So it should be that simple, but I don't think it's going to be.
Never that lucky.
Never.
Then what?
Trade back, you know, and get another player, another draft pick, or, you know, I don't know. It's going to be really, really – I'm looking forward to it. I'll just say that, yeah.
Teron Davenport is with us. So, Teron, along those lines, we had an interesting discussion about Bowers. I'm curious, with your personal evaluation, because all of us can sit there and say, yeah, I've watched Georgia play a lot of games these last few years. They've been right in the national title hunt. So if you love college football, even if you're not a Georgia fan, you've seen them play a bunch, and that can set up a bias. But – How would you evaluate him? Is he that special that you would need to consider him at 7?
I think you have to consider him. He's a very special player. You do have the shortcomings in blocking. So it's like, okay, how formation dependent are you going to be with him, right? Are you going to want to run 4 receiver sets? Are you going to want to run 12 personnel? Because you still have Okonkwo and you got Josh Wiley that you want to get on the field. I just look at it this way. Okay, Brock Bowers, Joe Alt, Malik Nabers. Who is going to contribute the most immediately? And to me, that's where I go back to the offensive line, Joe Alt, and I think that would be the best. But you absolutely have to consider him because it's one of those things where you're like, okay, if we pass him up and he's great, like I don't want to be in a Sam Bowie or Michael Jordan situation, right? One of those types, so.
Okay, so here's the other thing that we kicked around that I always wonder at this time of year when you hear all this stuff about McCarthy. Is J.J. McCarthy a first-round graded quarterback from your eyes?
No. No, he's not. And it's not because of him. It's just like for me, like in watching him, the grade is incomplete. Because you look at – and I'm always going to have that question, right? This is a five-star. He was a five-star quarterback coming out of high school. Jim Harbaugh remained a run-heavy offense. Mm-hmm. In fact, we know the Penn State game. They ran the ball 32 times.
They didn't run in the second half, did they? I mean, they didn't throw the ball again in the second half.
They ran 32 times.
That was one of the boringest games I watched all year. Nobody could do anything.
Right,
nobody
was trying to do anything. I take that. I'm like, so I have that question. But some coaches, they stick to their DNA. That's what they do. That's what Harbaugh has done all the way back to touchdown Tommy at Stanford, right? Mm-hmm. But then you turn around, you look at situational football. You look at third downs. You look at times where, okay, they absolutely needed a play. He delivered. Mm-hmm. So that's the part that makes you like, can we stretch that out over a longer period of time? And so as an evaluator, I would be very intrigued by that, but I still think that there's – at least 3 quarterbacks that are better.
But it can't 4, fool actually. You to a point where because there are a lot of quarterbacks out there like that mm-hmm. that you put them in a position they excel. Like you put them in certain positions, they just excel, but then you don't get that extension. Like they don't play that well for a long period of time.
Yeah.
And that's the part you gotta kinda weigh. Like, yeah, third down, this yeah, he does well. But we don't know how well he does in the long stretches.
Right.
You know, maybe that's why Jim Harbaugh decided, listen, we're not going to put a lot on his plate. Because Jim knows, just like anybody else, in order to win championships, you got to have that quarterback. Or you have to have everything else around you, i.e. Michigan. Everything else around you is great. It's perfect. And it was perfect for Michigan. And I hate to say it, but it was perfect for Michigan this season. Can he then take that and translate that into the NFL? You can't play that way in the NFL. The quarterback has to be the guy that's a dominant force.
Exactly.
And is he that dominant force?
Yeah, I don't think so.
So, Ron, I have to take a moment. Fan to Met fan.
Yes,
I am
sir.
So jealous.
Therapy.
I'm jealous that you got – well, you know, we're playing better. We're playing a little better.
Yeah, got the win yesterday.
This is about a guy that I grew up, and I still to this day will tell everybody that never saw him pitch how special Dwight Gooden was.
Yeah.
He was like the meteor shooting through the sky. It didn't last as long as – maybe you hoped, and he part of it was self-inflicted. He would be the first to admit that.
Mm-hmm.
But you got a chance to actually see the Mets retire his number yesterday. But I'm sure there's probably some younger listeners that are like, was he that great? Like, he's not in the Hall of Fame.
Man.
But, like, there's certain athletes that make their mark, right? I think of Bo Jackson and some other people. Like, you had to see him.
You had to see
right?
him.
But but Dwight Gooden would be in that category,
look,
right?
Man, anybody that questions Doubt Gooden, go just Google 1984, or excuse me, 85 season. Like, that season was stupid. Triple crown winner. It was great to get to see that. I made it a point to see that. I wasn't going to miss it because I can't tell you how many times I saw Ron Darling, Bob Ojeda, Sid Fernandez. I saw these guys start. Like, I would always – my aunt, like, she would take me she would take me to those games. We never got to see Doc, so I never got to experience it. So to see that energy and feel it yesterday was all that, man. And I wasn't going to miss it. And then to see Daryl Strawberry in the building, you know, him, the heart attack just like a month ago. Lee Mazzilli was there. Barry Lyons, like, I'm looking at, I was like, that's Barry Lyons. Like, who would remember who the heck he is? So just like the way that allowed me to go back, and even just riding the train to the stadium, like, it just took me back to being a little kid and going to it. And that's the beauty of sports. It's just like music, where it's a time machine and it's an escape. So yeah, man, like, Doc Gooden. And then not to mention, and Willie, we were texting about this, the way he's overcome his demons. You know, we all have vices and things that, you know, could alter our life. But the way he overcame, and it took so long.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I mean, this dude in 1986, he missed the championship parade because he was in a crack house.
Mm.
This is Doc Gooden, the best pitcher in the league, waking up in a dope house and missed it. But now you look at where he is now, all these years later. He has a son, by the way, that plays for the University of Maryland football. But you look at all these years later, he's finally right. And that was when he said that in his second sentence, that my mental health is okay. He didn't say substance problem, but he just mainly just said his health overall is okay. Mm-hmm. And, like, that was worth it for me. I had to fly back because I called myself being a good boyfriend. My lady, I had gotten tickets to Deion Cole, and the show was postponed to yesterday, so I had to alter the plan. So I missed Edwin Diaz closing the game.
Oh, you missed the trumpets.
I told her, you owe me. You owe me. So if you're listening,
you owe me.
Liv, you know what it is.
Older too. Absolutely.
Yeah. Let me you guys this real quick. Caroline and D-Mates, like, Teron and I, we there's that category. Like, Bo Jackson's in that category. I think maybe Penny Hardaway will be in the category of you had to see him, and maybe a younger person would not appreciate how great they were at their best.
Yeah.
But do you guys have somebody in that
for
mindset
me,
you would buddy about?
For me, it was Grant Hill. Nobody knew how. Man, have Grant Hill not had all those injuries to his knees? This guy was on his way to being the face of the NBA. Like, literally, watch Grant Hill. Because Grant Hill was one of those positionless players.
Yep.
He can play the one, he can play the two, three, and four.
And jump.
This guy was – you hated him when he was in Duke?
Yes.
But when he got to Detroit, it was like he was a savior. Like, you just don't know. And he doesn't get mentioned.
Remember, it was because he and Allen Houston together for
exactly. He doesn't get mentioned because – his career was derailed by injuries early on.
Mm-hmm.
But, man, had he stayed – it's sort of like you got Grant Hill and Tracy McGrady.
Tracy McGrady.
Had those two guys – well, three, because you throw Penny in there.
Mm-hmm.
those three guys had not gotten hurt, you would have been talking about all-time greats with all three of them. That's how good they were, especially Grant Hill. Mm-hmm. And then Derrick Rose. I look at Derrick Rose.
Oh, man.
Like, crazy. I was talking to my son the other day about Derrick Rose. I was like, man. I was like, you just don't know how good Derrick Rose was.
Killing him. A two-foot jumper, too.
Exactly. I said, this bang dude on your neck was 6'1". Good.
Mm. Well, TD, we appreciate you stopping by. Before we get you out of here, 2 weeks away from the draft, some things that you're keeping in mind, reminders that you want to send out to Titans fans, just things that you're looking at as we approach the draft.
I think you continue to watch the interest in quarterback. How those, like if you see Michael Penix Jr., mm-hmm. the interest in him start to emerge. Not saying that will make a team trade into the top six or anything like that, but watch that because that could have to do with how teams look at the quarterback. And you know, if four quarterbacks go before the Titans pick a seven, mm-hmm. like you're really sitting pretty, you know. So that's something
best case
to watch.
Scenario.
I think you watch the visits that they do. You watch the positioning as far as like how people look at this offensive line. Because mm-hmm. J.C. Latham is quietly closing the gap between himself and Joe Alt. I still think Alt is mm-hmm. better, but yeah. Those are some things that I would watch.
Now, quickly, receivers. Mm-hmm. How many receivers you believe go in the first round?
Oh, man. I think up to eight could. Mm-hmm. Keon Coleman and Xavier Worthy. Those, I think, are going to be the ones that kind of like in Leggett, too. Okay. Like, where those guys go, I think, is going to dictate it. But okay. I could think you see eight.
Mm.